right, so you want to, should we get started, Karma?
Yes.
Okay, so at 107, this is Barbara Mason from the Boeing Company. I represent Boeing on the Orange County Workforce Development Board. This is the one-stop oversight committee meeting. We're calling it to order.
All right, I'll go ahead.
This is being held by Zoom. And so we'll, you should see on the screen an American flag, and Thursday is Veterans Day. If we have a veteran or someone that would like to lead us in the pledge, that would be great. Okay.
I'm sorry, can we, actually, Eric is a veteran. I think
wonderful.
He might be on the other group. Can we promote him up? And maybe he can leave.
That would be great.
Okay, let me see. Here's Eric. Let me promote him to panelist. Eric, if you could unmute yourself.
I did. I'm working on my background. I don't have my singing voice on today, but thank you.
That's okay. You could just lead us in the pledge. And thank you very much for your service as a veteran.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Floor is yours, Eric.
Okay. See if I know the words. Ready? I pledge allegiance.
We'll do it together.
Okay.
Pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
To the flag. Of the United States of America.
And to the Republic
for which it stands.
One nation.
Under God.
Indivisible.
With liberty
and justice for all.
Justice for all. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
Okay, now we're on to the board roll call.
Yes. Natalie Alvarez. Please let me know if you're present or absent. If you're absent, you can't tell me. So, Natalie, absent. Rob Claudio is absent. Eric Codorniz. Absent. Mike Ruane. Absent. Chris Horton.
Present.
Thank you.
Sorry, I was on mute. It's here.
I'm sorry, was that Eric?
That was Mike.
That was Mike Daniel?
Mike Ruane. Adriana, it's Mike Ruane.
I'm sorry. Ah, Mike Ruane. Okay. Chris Horton is here. Barbara Mason?
Present.
Gary Matkin?
Present.
Carlos Oregon.
Present.
And Brenil Tumor-Baez. Brenil? Okay. We have five committee members present, so I think earlier we decided we would take the action items to the end of the meeting. I'll go ahead and display the agenda for us.
Okay, thank you. And so now it's a public comment. So at this time, members of the public that are on the Zoom call may address the one-stop oversight committee regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken off agenda item unless authorized by the law. So do we have anybody that wants to provide comments, public comments?
If you're muted at this time, you could you raise your hand, please. Okay, I don't see any hand raised. I don't see any phone numbers that are not identified as anybody in the attendees list. So it looks like at this point we can move on.
Okay, thank you. And so we're going to bypass the action items until we get additional committee members. So we'll go to the information item number 8, program performance.
Let me move past these. Sorry, I'm going to have to scroll here.
I'm going to turn it over to Maritza to provide performance. Turn it over to Maritza and Javier to provide performance updates for America Works One-Stop Operator. Quarter one performance will be presented by Maritza, and then Boss Greeter report shall be presented by Javier.
Hello, everyone. Again, my name is Maritza Sosa Nieves. I'm one of the program and grant managers. I currently oversee our contract with our operator, America Works of California. In front of you, you have a report for quarter one. You will see that the operator is basically to date in terms of their expenditures. They've utilized 24% of their budget. For quarter one, they had $306,471 in direct program costs, and for an administrative cost of $30,647.13. As far as the performance report goes, I do want to point out that the number of first-time visitors has changed since we last submitted this report. And I will allow my colleague Javier to report on that further. We received some information from the state and there was a discrepancy in that number. However, I will be sending the revised report to staff, and they will be sending it out, and I will report the correct numbers, or the updated numbers, I should say, excuse me, at the full board meeting next week. But for first-time visitors, the number is actually upwards in the thousands, about 1,100. For virtual training and on-site training, those numbers are correct. So the virtual training, we have 452 participants and 377 for on-site. We also, if you recall from the last meeting, we wanted to add the ACT Workies training program. We were going to start reporting on that since it is a program that the operator oversees. We haven't had any participants enroll in quarter one. However, we've had some participants attend orientation. And again, the updated report will be provided at the full board meeting. Thank you. Javier.
Sorry, I was getting myself off mute. Adrian, can you upload the PowerPoint?
Okay, just a second here.
First of all, thank you guys for being so patient. Been having some technical difficulties working somewhat remote off, not the usual office at our brick and mortar today, and it's a little different.
You all have those difficulties, no problem.
I'm still working on it, folks, here. Let's see, here we go.
Okay, so for our new design, Orange County Workforce Solutions Center, if we scroll down to the first slide, we will see our numbers for the quarter from July 1 to September 30th, 2021. And we have, our numbers actually increased, and I have some more details once I'm done with this slide, based on the conversations I've had with staff at the One Stop. But our biggest new ones have been for the first time visitors. From July to September, we've had 1,117 first-time visitors. Also, our number for career services has increased, and for this quarter was 2,487. The resource room is still getting quite a bit of traffic with 2,458 visitors. And then walk-ins, since we have lifted up some restrictions with appointment only, it's been 3,327. Overall, services for the quarter, just for the Garden Grove Center, total services provided is 14,412. Do we have any questions on this first slide? No? Okay. Moving on to the second one, and this is a combination of all services and workshops for adult dislocated workers and our youth program. So a lot of them have been workshops where a lot of the clients come in either then virtual workshops or in person. and also a lot of job-related assistance. Anything from creating a resume, job searching, updating a cover letter, or just finding something different, especially as the pandemic has been kind of coming to a curve and hopefully get people back into the workforce. And then our biggest stat has been career services. And on the next slide, we will break that down to what these almost 2,000 services are included in that section. Okay, can you go to the next one?
Next.
Oh, there you go. Sorry.
Back, okay.
One more.
Okay. There's a little bit of a lag.
And then here, we have quite a bit, but I'm gonna highlight the top five. And then once we send out the finalized report, then we'll send you the updated version as well. So our first one is individual counseling. So a lot of clients have been coming in, whether it's counseling, receiving it from their staff, being referred out. The second one is developing and updating their initial employment plan or individualized employment plan with their case manager. The third one is assessments, which could be anything from their TAPE test, and those that participated in the ACT work keys. And the fourth one is referrals to community partners. So even though we are a one-stop shop, sometimes there are services outside of the scope of workforce that partners do refer out to community partners. And the fifth one is researching labor market information, whether it's ONET, other workforce data systems. So our clients and our staff can either get the accurate information of employment or jobs that they're looking to get into.
Next slide.
Yes, please. Okay, and then here we move on to participants' surveys and satisfaction. So overall, we've had a 4.5 star rating, which averages out to about 90%, which is really, really good. Obviously, we would want to be at 100, but not everyone's perfect. So we are at 90% of 4.5. We are having some struggles with getting responses back. So we distributed 775 surveys, and we were only able to get 118 responses back, which comes out to a rate of 15%. So we would love to have a lot more, but unfortunately at the moment, we only have the 118, and those responses for the most part have been very successful, and the comments for the staff have been outstanding as well.
How is it distributed? Is it electronic or paper?
So at the moment we are using SurveyMonkey, in probably as we get to the last survey results, we will have some discussions of what we plan to do moving forward, since we have discovered that, you know, SurveyMonkey, it's not really working, and there's some barriers to SurveyMonkey as well as clients and even some of our partners receive or don't receive the links. And then for how likely are, and this is still on participants, how likely are they to refer somebody to the Orange County Workforce Solutions Center? 90% said they would, 10% said they wouldn't. So still very, very high numbers. Obviously we would want 90 to increase and have everybody refer everybody that they know. So those are some of the things that we'll also be working on. And then their overall customer experience. As a whole, it comes out to 97%, but 98% of our participants that did visit our center felt welcome. 97% felt it was easy to access services. And then 95% felt that they were provided with quality service and customer service. And then moving on to the training surveys for participants. Disclaimer for this one as well, we did distribute 484 surveys for participants that attended either our virtual or on-site workshops. And we were only able to collect 34 responses, so which gives us a rate of 7%. Overall, the responses that we did get were for July to August was a little above a four star. And for August to September, it was almost above a 4.5. And that was for their overall training, their experience in the training. And then also the quality of teaching for July was from a 4.3 star. And then in August, it increased to a 4.5. Which overall would give us an 80% for both the services. And when we break that down into individualized questions on how we get these percentages, a lot of them were at 75% or higher. There is one for the training. We would want to see this number increase after they finished the training or completed it, how many of them felt comfortable applying those skills. And only 69% said that they felt very comfortable. So one of the probably target areas we would want to focus on for next quarter. And then the last two slides are regarding our partner surveys. We have sent out 71 surveys in the last quarter and only received 5 responses from our partners at the One Stop. And a lot of it has been very, very forthcoming, and it's all positive. We didn't have anybody that said they disagreed or strongly disagreed. So it's all either the way the information is provided from the one-stop operator to our partners and our staff and their monthly meetings. We're at 60% for strongly agreeing, and then 40% for neither agree nor disagree. And then the last one we had is for the partners was does a one-stop operator has made training and guidance opportunities possible to all partners to impact the knowledge, skills, and abilities to support an integrated service delivery system. And all partners, 40% said strongly agree and 60% said agree. And overall, how satisfied are you with your partnership with the one-stop operator? 40% said they very satisfied, and 60% said satisfied. Do you have any questions?
You're saying 40% of the people surveyed, right? Not overall.
40% of the people that responded.
Right, right. So it's pretty smaller group.
Correct. So that does conclude my presentation. Some of the things we are working on is with Meritza and Karma of either tailoring, rewriting some of these questions, and also most likely moving forward, instead of utilizing SurveyMonkey as a mass email, probably make it a little bit more personalized where it doesn't go into spam, it comes directly from one of our staff or directors. And then that way our partners can put a name to the face. And hopefully the goal is for them to respond back to the surveys and their email server, not to just automatically put into spam or get lost somewhere in the shuffle.
Have we thought about maybe pushing it out via text?
We haven't purchased that software to do that. We've looked at it. We haven't done that. I think our service provider does have the text option to text participants to remind them of their appointments. We've not tried it, something we can look into, but it is some software that we do know that's available. I'm not sure if that, I don't know if it will improve or not, but that's a good suggestion, and we'll look into whether or not it's feasible for us to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Javier.
Thank you so much.
If we're ready to proceed, then I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Zitlalik to provide an update on the Managed Care Solutions Title I Career Service Quarter One performance.
I'm sorry, let me go ahead and move her over as a panelist.
I was on mute, sorry. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Itlali Damon. I am the Grants and Programs Manager and oversee our WIOA Title I Career Services contract with Managed Career Solutions. Just as a recap and reminder, this program year, MCS was awarded a $3.5 million contract to implement the WIOA Title I Career Services for Adult and Dislocated Workers. For the Adult North program, they were awarded $900,000. And in quarter one, they utilized 14% of that budget. In direct program costs, they utilized $82,040.44. And also used $30,000 and some change of that funding for ITAs and $1,524 for supportive services. For a performance, in the performance category, we had 44 new enrollments in Adult North. 144 participants from the last program year were carried forward to this current program year. That number is going to remain as is. There's not going to be any additions to that because that's a number that stays fit. Our target population, we had 177 barriers in, from our new enrollments. 19 employment placements in the second quarter after exit. The median earnings for this quarter were $7,054, which is above our contracted goal. And then we also had one co-enrollment with our VEEP program. There were 18 program exits. For trainings and program participation, we had 52 participants that were engaged into an activity 1 week after program enrollment, two of them between 2 and 4 weeks. So participants are being engaged into something fairly quickly. And there were 8 ITAs and 1 OJT that started, no work experience. This year they have some money in their budget to also enroll participants into work experience training, transitional jobs. So that's something that we should be seeing in our performance measures moving forward this year. For Adult South, MCS was allotted $800,000. They've utilized 15% of their budget, $64,000 of it being in direct program cost, $48,000 ITAs, $52,000 in supportive services, the rest being in admin costs. There were 33 new enrollments, 72 participants that carried forward from last program year. Of the 33 new enrollments, 117 barriers were identified, 33 employment placements, 13,231 were the median earnings for quarter one, and we had 16 program exits. We had 20 of the new enrollments were enrolled and or engaged into an activity within 1 week of enrollment, 4 within 2 and 4 weeks, and then 2 of them between 1 and 2 months. I do want to point an error on my end, and I apologize. The total should be the total of the 20 plus the 4 plus the 6. So it should be 26 instead of the 14. That's my error. I apologize for that. The ITAs, we had 14 ITAs or new ITA enrollments in quarter one.
When you say 16 exits, does that mean they completed the program or they dropped out of the program? What does exits mean?
So it means that it could be both. So it could be that they were exited from the program with employment, or it could be that they were soft exited. When you see, so it could be either way. Then we could look at the way that CalJobs reports the, when you see employment placements, it might not add up to program exit because the way that CalJobs reports on employment placements is, retroactive, so it would be 90 days back. So we don't get the number of employment placements until 90 day or until 2 quarters after they've been placed in employment. So those numbers might not match up, but in quarter one, there were 16 program exits. In 90 days or by the quarter two, we will know if they were still, how many of those were placed in employment and have kept their employment through the second quarter. Does that clarify a bit.
Thank you.
Moving on to our dislocated worker North program, $950,000 is allotted for that program. In quarter one, 23% of that funding was utilized, 85,000 of it was direct program cost, 174 supportive services, 101,587 ITAs and 8,820 in an OJT on the job training. We had 44 new enrollments, 159 carry forwards. We had 63 employment placements. So second quarter after exit, there was participants who were still in their employment placement. Median earnings are $10,457. You will also notice a few rows down the retention with the same employer fourth quarter after exit. So that means that they kept their employment 1 year after being exited from CalJobs. And that was 108. And our program exit for quarter one is 25. All 44 new enrollments were enrolled into an activity and engaged within the first week of program enrollment. We had 16 new ITAs and one OJT. And lastly, for dislocated worker South, $850,000 was allotted for that program. 27% of it has been spent in quarter one. 66,613 in direct program costs. Supportive services was a little over $1,000 and 139,461 in ITAs. 33 new enrollments, 100 carry forwards, 45 employment placements in second quarter after exit. 10,632 is the median earnings. 81 had retention with the same employer fourth quarter after exit, and 19 program exits in quarter one.
I'm sorry, this is my first meeting. I'm new here. What's included in the supportive services?
So supportive services would be any support or any service that would enable the participant to continue with their job searching or that would help them continue with career services with the participant or with our service provider and or to be successful in training. So that could be a variety of things. It could be gas cards so that they can get to and from training and or to attend job interviews. It could be maybe they need clothing or an interview outfit. That could be one of the supportive services that can be provided. It could also include sometimes rent if that's a barrier to them being able to attend training or look for employment, then that's also one of the supportive services that can be provided. There's a variety of them. They all have to be not only approved, but also they have to show, or when we approve these, that we have to verify and ensure that the supportive service is needed in order for them to be able to continue receiving career services and or attending training. In addition to that, it's also a last resort supportive service. So before they come to us or we provide the support service, they have to go out into other community-based organizations and seek the support elsewhere to try to see if we can get them paid for by some of our partners and or provided for free by some of our partners.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. For the training section, 12 of the new enrollments were engaged into an activity participated in a class or workshop or training within 1 week, 9 of them within 2 and 4 weeks, 1 between 1 and 2 months, and 10 of them are not yet engaged in a service. And for a total of 32, and we have 6 ITAs in Dislocated Work Yourself program, 0 OJTs and 0 work experience trainings.
Sorry, again.
Yeah, of course, no, please lift away.
Not yet engaged in a service, does that... That could mean
a variety of things. Typically, when there's a 10 or a number on there, it could mean because of the way the quarters are or the way that information is reported, it could mean that maybe they enrolled in the program, let's say September 28th. So because the quarter ends September 30th, then they're probably haven't been engaged, but maybe they will be engaged within the next week. It just would be part of our October numbers.
Got it.
Or so it could also be that maybe they just are not respond. They came in, they enrolled, and then they're not, you know, answering our phone calls. So it could be either one of those. Typically, it's option that I provided, which is that, you know, it's September 28th when they enrolled, and we won't see that they've engaged within a week because it's not because of the way that dates land.
So they may show up on the between 2 and 4 weeks line.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
Got it.
For next quarter.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
For October, yeah. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
What type of jobs are we placing people into? People that are exiting, that are successfully completing and moving on, where are we placing them?
You know, that's a good question. And I would have to go back and, or maybe we can promote, Adriana, we can promote MCS Gloria to be a panelist. She might have more detailed information.
Because time is tight, you could provide it next time. It would be helpful because we're just looking at a lot of numbers.
Yes.
Where are these people going? What kind of jobs are they going into? Are they part-time, full-time, seasonal? You know, where are we succeeding?
Barbara, if you don't mind, I would like to promote Gloria so that she can talk about that. We invited them to come so that you could ask some questions directly.
Sure, good.
Adriana, can you please promote Gloria so they can the committee can ask them questions directly?
Just remember, Karma, we had talked about, we're just looking at numbers. We need to understand more the impact here.
I totally agree with you.
Are these just seasonal holiday jobs or are these jobs that are going to go on?
I agree.
Hi, Gloria. We should be able to hear you at this point. Can you hear me? Yes, we can. Okay, perfect. I'm so sorry. Boy, this technology is driving me crazy. Okay, so in regards to employers, we had 171 placements this quarter, just to give you information. And we don't exit anybody unless it is a full-time position, permanent. So we ask the clients and we let them know you are going to be exiting. And if they agree, we go ahead and exit them into employment. So a lot of these positions they go into can be anywhere from, we have anywhere from, looking at my report right now. So we have like project management. We have an electrical engineer making $36 an hour. The project manager is making $28 an hour. We have warehouse making 15. We have truck drivers making $35.50. I have a few making 22. We have admin, inventory, CNCs, CNAs, loan officers, dental assistants. I have someone who worked for B of A. He got the job position for vice president of operations, making $52 an hour. Accounts payable, $26 an hour. Security guard, $16. So those are the kind of positions they're actually going into. We are starting to see people getting engaged again into work. Some employers are being a little bit more selective just because they haven't had current experience in the last 2 years. But we are helping our individuals once we engage them into, you know, we work with the resumes, we help update the resume, we make it look good. We start referring to some of our employers. So it is working, and those are the kind of positions you're going into.
Thank you. That's helpful.
You're very welcome.
Is there any other questions that I can answer for any of you? Thank you.
Thank you.
So now I'm going to turn it over to Adriana to give a report out on the goodwill of Orange County AB 1111 quarter one performance.
Okay, let me move my windows around here. Okay. Okay, the AB 1111 grant program addresses barriers to employment for individuals with disabilities. So for quarter one of this year, they've used 64% of their budget total this quarter. They spent $32,273.94. That includes the July and August invoices. September did not come in time for this report. For their performance categories, new enrollments was 9 individuals for this quarter. Employment places was 10. And we had one successful program exit. The trainings in this year, for the first week, we had one enrollment between 2 and 4 weeks. We had 9, bringing us to a total of 10. Some of the challenges we have had with this program are still recruiting. We're trying to step up our outreach because we have our new components to the program that have rolled out this quarter, which are the Earn and Learn and Entrepreneurship components that are new. So actually these numbers were for September when the new entrepreneurship component rolled out. We had 7 of those participants are in an Earn and Learn retail certification program that's sponsored by the National Retail Federation. And we're stepping up our outreach, designing new flyers for the Earn and Learn component. And also in December, we're also partnering with the Small Business Council to have participants learn entrepreneurship by selling products via a website that they've designed. So we're partnering with that Small Business Development Council Goodwill to get the new enrollments, some entrepreneurial and online virtual business experience. So those are the highlights for this quarter.
Adriana, quick question. If I heard you correctly, I thought did you say you were having some trouble recruiting?
Yes.
What does that mean? Recruiting participants?
Oh,
recruiting
yes, participants. Yes.
What does that mean?
Yes, participants.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's still remnants of the COVID issue. Some of the people with disabilities tend to have coexisting health problems, so they've not been enthusiastic demographic for us to work with.
That makes sense.
Okay. Oh, I think I missed the trainings portion here. In the first week of training, we had one enrollment between 2 and 4. We had 9 and not yet engaged in service is, let's see, that's Theros. We have a total of 10. And like I said, we are really anticipating that we can have at least 10 people start the new entrepreneurship program component with SBDC by mid-December. So that's our goal for getting that new component underway as well under the entrepreneurship umbrella. Any questions? Okay.
Thank you, Adriana. We are gonna go over to Eric to provide us an update on the Veterans Employment Related Assistance Program, the quarter one performance.
I'm sorry, let me go ahead and give Eric panel the status here.
Are you ready?
Yes, we are.
Okay, thank you. Again, I'd like to thank everyone for having me here today. During this period, report period, VEEP enrollments have increased significantly compared to last quarter. We screened 76 eligible veterans and was able to enroll nearly 25% for program participation. Many of our veterans that we enrolled reported a desire to return to work after a previous layoff due to the impact of COVID-19 pandemic. One of our focuses for our program are on veterans with significant barriers to employment. And the majority of the participants, we've either entered into soft skills training through our OC One Stop or now Workforce Solutions, or through our Orange County Behavioral Health Agency for either stress and crisis management intervention services for those veterans who, those participants identifying homelessness or at risk of homelessness, which has been a huge impact in that collaboration simply because we don't deal directly with housing, having those partnerships either through our Volunteers of America, our OC Behavioral Health Agency, or OC for Vets have been helpful to leverage those veterans experiencing that crisis to connect them to housing services. We also have had 6 participants enter directly into occupational skills training based on our core enrollment with our WEO Title I provider or other leverage career enhancement training through the Veterans Administration. A lot of our veterans are coming to the program to take a look at opportunities for training. Many of them have actual benefits that they've been eligible for through either their service or post 9/11 or through their vocational rehabilitation opportunities through the VA. So we had that opportunity to leverage those resources to get them immediate training based on eligibility for those benefits. Next slide, please.
Is this correct?
Yes, thank you. Starting with some of the activities that we've done, participant outreach and engagement, as well as capacity building with our community partners have increased, which I think is a reason why we've had such a large number of our veterans who are able to find us and get access to information about the program and other services in our partnership. With many of our referrals, we got 3 referrals that came directly from EDD through our One Stop. We had 9 referrals from our WEO Title I provider. We also had 5 from our OC One Stop operator for those veterans entering the Garden Grove One Stop and looking for service or who were identifying as having served on active duty at some point. We had 3 direct referrals from our OC Behavioral Health, and actually 1 that actually came from the California Department of Veterans Affairs. So our opportunity is to broaden our reach and expand awareness about what VEEP is and how we get to assist veterans with that reintegration back in the workforce has been very helpful through that collaboration. So one of the new projects, project relationships through Volunteers of America, as I said, they deal quite significantly with veterans who are experiencing housing issues or who may be identifying as needing homeless services. We built a nice partnership with UMass Global, formerly Brandon University, as well as Futura Health, that have been a nice building relationship to increase options to veterans for training. Other access points to apprenticeships, we partnered quite a bit with Helmets to Hard Hats, which actually works with a lot of military members who are transitioning out of the workforce, out of the military, who are trying to get back into the workforce, into the construction trades. Enrollments. Skills assessments using the test for adult basic education in lieu of CASAs has been helpful in an intake process to be able to have some of the streamlined and expedited process to access developing their career plans. Co-enrollment opportunities also have increased based on a mutual collaboration with our case managers, as well as monthly meetings with our Title I provider. It's been helpful to have that collaboration so that we are significantly engaged with being on the same page with what the veterans' career goals really are, especially when it comes to co-enrollments. Some of our program services, most participants are eager to obtain a right now job. Many of our veterans during this report period were eager to get back into the workforce as well as obtain, engage in upskills training simultaneously to improve their opportunities for economic enhancement. We are still in the process of our recruiting for our new additional staff for the VEET program. So hopefully this coming week, we'll be interviewing for those positions to help us expand our ability to deliver program services. Next slide. Some of the systems change that's been effective for us is coordination of referrals through CalJobs. I think that's allowed us to really hone in on streamlining both referrals to and from our providers. That's been helpful. We get so many that may not be ready for the program right away that allows us to make those referrals back to other services to help them engage back into the workforce, even though VEET may not be an option for them right now. We continue all avenues of building partnerships to enhance our program objectives, including engaging with our business solutions team for veterans seeking on-the-job training opportunities. Next slide, please.
Is this correct?
Yes. Sorry, I don't have my glasses, so everything looks blurry. As far as expenditures, so we're actually, performance-wise, we're at about 109% of our performance for this period. We went over just a bit, I think, as far as matching funds. I think some of that, due to some of the training that we may be getting veterans into by leveraging VA benefits first and trying to focus on other opportunities for certificate programs after they've completed longer term trainings.
Next slide.
Yes, please. Some of the best practices, again, what's been helpful for the VEET program has been our capacity building and community engagement with our partnerships and just having a conversation about meeting veterans where they are and trying to coordinate services amongst all of our programs. That has been something that's been a significant player in our veterans. I think our veterans' feedback has been helpful to know that there are so many other types of services to help them in their transition. Had a veteran participant who was unable to attend this visit meeting to be able to talk about their success story. I'll highlight just a little bit briefly. This veteran service connected for injuries during service was actually hired, made a job offer through Riverside County working with the DA's office. Had some opportunities and skills that, transferable skills that made her more marketable. She decided to go and work for Disney, which is, you know, she was a little concerned that she was making the wrong choice, but came up with a decision to go with Disney simply because it made better sense for her ultimate career objective, which is to, you know, get away from computers and be more visible working with people. Hopefully the next time around, we'll have just a broader opportunity to have one of our VEET participants tell their story at this meeting the next time around.
We would welcome that. That would be nice.
Yeah,
she couldn't get away simply because of her work schedule, but she was definitely on board for doing so. But next time.
I think the more we can put a face on these numbers, the better.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's it. Any questions for me? Okay. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
Yeah.
So, Barbara, that's it for our program performance. If you don't mind, I'd like to go on to the one-stop surveys under section number 9.
Sure, please press on.
Okay, and I'm going to turn it over to Javier to go over our one-stop system partner survey and our one-stop participant surveys.
Karma, Javier presented on those when we talked about the boss greeter. So he presented with me. Sorry.
Oh, you combined them together.
Okay. He did.
Next time, let's not do that. But thank you.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. So then we're going to move over to item number 10, Orange County Workforce Development Board SID staff WIOA one-stop updates. Is that okay with you, Barbara?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so the first item on here is the needs-related supportive services. That grant closed out last program year, so we no longer have the needs related supportive service funding to provide to participants in the workforce system. Zilog, I don't know if you want to make a comment about that or not.
No, yeah, we no longer have that grant. We did provide a final update last board meeting on how much was expended and how many supportive services were provided, how many participants received supportive service. If the board members would like, I can send a brief summary recap via email because I don't have it in front of me today, but we did provide that update at the last board meeting.
Any questions or concerns about the needs related supportive services? And as you recall, it was a special grant in response to COVID-19 where we could give participants anywhere from $400 to $800 in support for rent and childcare and things like that. If there are no questions about that, is it okay if I move forward?
Yeah.
Okay. The next item is the 211 OC Orange County Partnership. This quarter, we didn't have any adult or dislocated worker participants enroll. As you may recall, we've created a partnership with 211 OC to provide adults, dislocated workers, and youth with the opportunity to gain work experience while working from home. In response to COVID-19, we thought it was important to create opportunities for all of our participants to have exposure to employment skills and training, as well as earning a wage. As of right now, we don't have any participants enrolled, any adult or dislocated worker participants enrolled in the 211 OC project. So there's no report out for that this quarter.
Why is that? Why are there no enrollments?
So there was a shift. Last year when we received the direct, we received quite a bit of funding from EDD for responses to COVID. And one of the ways that we used that was to hire a third party accounting firm or a payroll firm to do payroll. And so when that third party payroll firm did payroll, they served as the employer of record. Well, with a lot of changes with COVID, some misunderstandings about the laws and COVID, the third party payroll firm didn't think that they could continue on to provide that support. So we then switched it over to the service provider to serve as the employer of record and provide payroll services. So I know that in that switch, our service provider indicated that they didn't have a lot of, not that they didn't have experience, but they didn't necessarily have a system established to support adults and dislocated workers receiving
transition.
So we're in a transition. So Zilala did receive a policy from our service provider, which we'll be reviewing. Once we review that policy and ensure that it covers everything that it's required to, we'll be able to enroll adults and dislocated workers into this program. We also expanded it to the AB 1111 population. And I just believe that at this time, there weren't any individuals with disabilities identified as appropriate participants for this opportunity. Okay, any other questions or concerns? Okay, so that's the update on that one. for the Veterans Employment Assistance Program, you just heard Eric provide a report out on that program. I can share with you that we are hosting a job fair next week for veterans. Although it is veteran supported, it is open to military families and outside job seekers. So we're hoping to get a good turnout for that event. So that's one of the updates. I don't know if Eric, you have anything else you want to share in terms of your VEET program that we didn't cover in your quarterly performance report out?
No, just hopefully everyone can get the word out to support us and get as many businesses and veterans and their families and anyone really to come out to support this event.
Where will it be held?
Actually here on site at 1300 South Grand in our parking lot.
Oh, wonderful. Nice.
Are there any other questions or concerns in regards to veterans employment VEET program? Excuse me. Okay, if not, then I'm going to turn it over to Rhonda to provide an update on the job training program.
Let me go ahead and pull that portion of the agenda back up. Let's see, where is it? Okay.
Page 30, it looks like maybe.
Yeah, let's see. I have so many windows up. I'm trying to search for the right ones. Share screen.
Great. Thank you, Adriana.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So on the job training update, I went ahead and put our work experience included in this pipeline slide. So for our on-the-job training, we currently have a number of positions open. So these are positions where the participant would be the employer, employed by the employer. So they are in training and then staying with the organization permanently. So we have Service Tech 2 position dispatcher, 2 senior accountant positions with the alternative fuel company. And then we have a labor operator positions with a construction organization. If you slide down there, the work experience that we have available is just what Karma was speaking to. There are 6 positions available, 5 in the information referral specialist role, and the 1 is a resource specialist. We are currently interviewing. These are 12 weeks at 30 hours a week of paid work experience. We are interviewing, or our service providers interviewing our resumes, reviewing them and conducting interviews with a cohort expectation to start on December 6th. So we're excited about that. That's the goal. So for our on-the-job training, we have currently in place a bookkeeper and office support with a company called United Industries that is a distribution center. This participant is continuing to take accounting classes to help further her skills. The employer is thrilled with this placement and has offered and is currently paying 50% of this individual's tuition and their books. And I wanted to make sure I included some quotes. They referred to her as a blessing, a fast learner, fantastic, and we love her. Then we have a veteran participant actually with a construction company. So this individual came in with some experience as a driver, but needed a Class A driver's license. This employer offered to pay for the schooling and the Class A driver's license for this individual. I had a progress report completed. They're thrilled. They're saying that they arrive early every day, doing a great job, very likable, hasn't missed any time yet, absolutely thrilled with it. So the exam for the Class A driver's license is scheduled to take place this month. So we're real excited there. So this outreach did take place this quarter. I presented at the Orange County Leadership Council to 23 businesses there. Also a lot of a lot of participation with our great partner, the Small Business Development Center. So they have a number of clinics that they have. And so I was at the Small Business Clinic in Tustin helping them, talking with businesses there. Also, we had a pop-up at Placentia with the Chamber of Commerce there in conjunction with Supervisor Chafee's office, and had an opportunity to speak with 30 small businesses there that were in attendance. And then also the Small Business Development Center had a Small Business Growth Summit last month, and they had over 100 small businesses attending there. I was lucky enough to be asked to present for a 45-minute breakout session to 30 specific businesses. So there are a number of businesses, including small businesses, are still having some challenges. And so it was great for me to be able to speak with them and present programs and opportunities to help. We're also looking to staff up ourselves. I have two full-time positions open for two business solutions coordinators with a primary focus of supporting my on-the-job training efforts. We've got a first round of applications. It's closed, and I'm just waiting for the results of assessment tests, and we're going to be continuing this recruitment until these two positions are filled. I did want to share with you the quarterly report for my a National Dislocated Worker Grant as a result of COVID-19. So the state requires that I provide them with monthly reports. Yes.
This report does not go in this meeting.
Okay.
It was just the overview of OJT, not this report. Remember, this is only reported to Business Solutions.
I'm sorry about that. Thank you very much. We just scoot right along.
Okay.
Asked this?
Yeah. It really is a work of art, but that's fine. I'm happy to skip it. My apologies, Karma.
That's okay. No, I just want to make sure that you don't go through this and then everybody gets confused.
But understood. Am I continuing with the job fair report or?
Yes, you can do the, yeah, the job fair report you do give them.
All righty, happy to do that. Am I out of line to go straight there?
Not at all. We can skip around a little.
Job fair page 40.
I thought I was right after this part. Keep going, Adriana. You're doing great. Yeah, thank you 40. For driving. There we go. That's me. Okay, fantastic. So technically this job fair occurred outside of first quarter, but I wanted to include it because it was so recent and it was a great success. This was our first in-person job fair that we'd had in over a year and a half, and it took place on October 6th in conjunction with District 3, Supervisor Wagner. We had 116 employers take place and 151 job seekers, and this was in conjunction with the with the city of Irvine as well. They were able to provide the location for us at Irvine Valley College. We had such a high response, we ended up actually outgrowing the original space that we had planned for the event and ended up moving to their parking lot underneath our covered parking where they had solar panels. So I just wanted to provide a shot right here. Here's a bunch of employers in this photograph who are ready and waiting for our job seekers. So we provided them with the tables, the linens, and two chairs. And that's just a nice shot here. So for the job fair participation, just a little bit lower there. There we go. So that blue line is the 116 employers and the 151 job seekers just above it. And you can see a teeny bit on the right, 7.5% is the unemployment rate at the time. So we've gone from virtual to face-to-face for this specific event. And, the feedback that we receive regularly, I see on a daily basis, both from large and small businesses, is that candidates are hard to identify, retain. The turnover is very high. If they do show up to a job interview and come to work, they don't tend to stay long because some will leave for 50 cents or a dollar more an hour. Some folks who are even more well-seasoned know that to maybe get a faster raise, they jump to another job. So we were very thrilled to see 151 job seekers at this event and that 116 employers. Thanks, Adriana. We can go down now. So here's a snapshot of the industries that we had. quite a wide variety, which was great. We had retail, we had a lot of travel and tourism, which we like to see coming back again. So this was quite a variety of candidates and quite a variety of businesses. I had a company email me after the job fair telling me that they received 32 resumes the day of the event, which was a win in two sides for me, in that 32 people for 4 hours for a recruiter is fantastic for them to be able to gain access face-to-face with candidates. But also we tell our job seekers to come prepared and bring your resumes, and 32 people that I know of with this company sure did that. So I'm very happy to see that as well. So we did try to capture as much as possible on site with employers for that survey information. So 85 employers responded, which is great from what we've had previously. So we really are happy about these responses here. How would you rate the job fair? Anything from excellent, very good, good, a little bit of fair, and very small, poor. How organized was the event? Well, we're very organized, which is fantastic to see. Extremely, very, and just a little for somewhat down there. So good results there. How helpful was the staff? Before and after the event, extremely helpful. That's what we want to be. We're the helpful team. So glad to see those numbers are good and strong. How many attendees did you speak with? This was kind of, kind of a bit over the, that's okay. Kind of a bit over the 50 plus. I like to see that 50 plus on the end. But for the amount of attendees that they talked with, you know, even 10, even to see that 1 to 9 for 4 hours. For a recruitment team is still good. 10 to 19, very strong, 20 to 29, et cetera. So those are nice, strong numbers as far as attendees that our employers spoke with.
Well, and Rhonda, it looked from the photo like it was spacious. So people, you know, wouldn't feel like they were on top of each other. And also being outside might be kind of nice with people that are uncomfortable with COVID to come back into a closed room.
You nailed it, Barbara. That's exactly it. So it was twofold. First of all, we wanted to be able to have people feel comfortable being outside and away from each other.
The weather's fine.
The weather was great. Thank you for saying that. It was a beautiful day, nice and overcast. The sun did peek out. And also that distance allowed for, for employers to have kind of private, confidential conversations needed with folks too, which we appreciated. Now, mind you, this was a large parking lot and we took pretty much the entire thing over. So the job seekers definitely got their steps in. That day they did a lot of walking around because it was quite large. We had a stage there. There's some other shots at the end I wanted to share, but it was great to be outside. Now we're going to have, as Karma mentioned, on November 17th, very similar setup right here in our own parking lot at County Operations, covered as well. It's not quite as large, but there's still going to be enough distance for those, you know, that two-pronged effect of having that privacy as well as the space in between, you know, for COVID reasons. So thank you. How well did the job fair meet your expectations and good hiring prospects? Well, we exceeded some, met some, and we were a little below in others. And I think that has to do with the variety of businesses that and industries that were there, as well as the variety of candidates. I think you'll see, if we were to have a smaller hiring event that was geared specific to the sector and had job seekers that were looking within that sector, we might have a little bit more, positive on that end there. But at the moment, you know, heck of a lot of good prospects and a variety of candidates. How likely are you to participate in a job fair in the future? Very likely. We like to see that. And of course, you know, not likely or unlikely, some people may not know what their hiring situation is going to be like in the future. So that might be why we got a little mixed there. And then we disappointed a person or two there on the end there. Not likely, but that's okay. We got plenty still coming back, which we like. All right. What can we do better? We always ask this question because we want to know. Well, I'll say it's great. Some people said nothing. We hit it right on the money. Again, the candidates, we've already addressed that. Some folks wanted some water, understood that speakers. Now, we did have some speakers at the beginning, and I mentioned that it was a pretty vast area. If you see a little bit farther to the right, it says louder audio. So I have a feeling some of those folks in the back maybe could not hear the speaker. So I don't know if they wanted speakers for volume or they wanted to hear from more folks up on our stage welcoming them and talking about the job fair. But some wanted more speakers. Advertising, sure, that's definitely something we'll be doing in the future, more advertising. You mentioned, Barbara, it looked like a nice day. It sure was, but somebody wanted us to improve on that weather. We had a wide, yep, good feedback. We had-
The other thing looked very easy to fix.
Yep, well, I thought I'd talk with Mother Nature about our next one, but if it's something that I can't really control, I can't get too worried about it.
Signage, audio, you can fix all that.
Sure, you betcha. Even though the event was free of charge, somebody wanted free lunch too, but that's not something that we provided at this event. The closer to restrooms, I completely understand. We did have to move the location, as I said, so we were a bit farther away from the washrooms. And then one person wanted a DJ, and that's, you know, we don't typically encourage that because we don't want that noise and distraction at a job fair, but that was the feedback that we received. And on to the job seeker surveys. We got a response of 49, and we tried to capture folks while on the property, as well as sending for both job seekers and for employers after the event. We went ahead and sent out surveys again. Some job seekers, you know, just flat out said, no thanks, and we get it. That's totally fine. We're not gonna go chasing you down, but this is what we did end up with, 49 job seekers. How satisfied or dissatisfied were you with this event? Very satisfied, satisfied. A little bit, not quite sure, and a small amount were dissatisfied to very dissatisfied, which was not too bad, a little room for improvement there. Very organized, like it. We like to be organized, as I said. You saw the pictures there, very uniformed. So that's good. How helpful was the staff? Right on, we were helpful again. We like to be helpful, full solutions here. How many interviews? So some people didn't have any, and then some had a lot. So that's difficult to kind of gauge the definition of a lot. And some folks were pretty shy about letting us know how many interviews they had. Now, there's a difference between having a conversation with an employer and actually having an interview conducted on site. So maybe we need to clarify that a little bit. Maybe we need to tweak that question a little bit to say, how many employers did you talk to instead of interviews specifically? Mm-hmm. But that was the response that we got there. What'd you like the most? Opportunities, that's right. Quite a number of companies there, a lot of opportunities. Some people couldn't put their finger on it. Lots of folks like our organization, variety of companies, size of the event, free materials, a lot of candy going on, a lot of goodies to be had. So very nice vendors. I like that some people liked everything about it. And of course the venue was liked, which is great. You're going to come back? Sure. Some are very likely to return to another job fair. We hope they're coming on Wednesday. Some are likely, and we had a couple that are going to take a pass on the next one. And what can we improve on? Well, the type of companies and the feedback that we are receiving specifically is that they'd appreciate a little bit more construction companies and IT companies. And that's invaluable information for us to have because now we know for hiring events, we can target specific companies and candidates within those areas. Better directions. I'm not quite sure how we could have done any differently. We tried to be as specific as possible with directions. We had signage and everything, but we had a couple people get lost. So what should we improve? Everything. That's pretty broad. We'll do our best. So I'm not quite sure what a resume drop-off bank is, but if we need to find a specific location for folks to drop their resumes off, that's something that we can absolutely try and have in the future. A little bit better organized. Again, the weather. I don't know. Some people just did not like the day, I guess. So again, weather, nothing was fine. Restrooms again. You know, a little bit more, yep, aisle signage, we missed that mark there. So we'll have the aisles, since we provided maps, neglected to put the aisle signage up. It was on the list, but it got missed. So we'll definitely put it up for our next job fair here on Wednesday. And these folks wanted snacks and water too, more staff. I thought we had it pretty covered with staff, but I guess we needed to have a couple more people. So we're just going to make sure we're a bit more spread out for the next job fair. So that's the responses there. And then I just wanted to show you a handful of photographs from the day. We had the Mighty Ducks there, which was super fun. And we had the district director for Supervisor Wagner, Scott Voigts, speaking. You can see him there on stage. There's a team photo there on the right. And then on the bottom row, that is just engagement from left to right of job seekers talking with businesses, of job seekers excited about their registration. And then we've got a couple of employers here on the right-hand side with Border Patrol. Really great event. Can I answer any questions?
Okay, thank you, Rhonda. And so then the last item under this category is the Regional 4.0. If we could please promote Erin to just give us an update on where we are with the Regional 4.0 grant.
All right. Erin, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Erin Uliberry, and one of my tasks is to oversee our regional grants and work closely with our regional organizer, Annette Kelly Whittle, on regional initiatives. So I'm going to give you an update on Regional 4.0. That is one of our funded, one of our grants that we do, that we are funded by from the state to activities around sector partnerships. It's really focused around sector partnerships. And so where we are in this grant is that we hosted, Annette may have gone over this before, we hosted a series of three workshops with local or stakeholders in the community to look at where we want to go in the future with our sector partnerships and develop a framework on what we want to do in the future. So we did that. It was facilitated by a state technical advisor. And so he worked with us to do that, to facilitate those meetings, and recently sent us a report on kind of recommendations and assessment of the process. So we're going to take that report from that he provided with us and move forward after the first of the year with really resuming our sector partnership, focusing on healthcare first. Some of you may remember we did these a couple years ago and then got sidelined with COVID. So we are resuming these meetings and really working with industry partners, employers, and community partners on how to move forward with the healthcare sector. We have been having a lot of discussion over the last month or so, a couple months, on different grant opportunities that do involve the region as a whole. So we've been talking, it's mainly focused around EDA grants. So we are looking at, you'll see in a few minutes on the grant report, one grant we submitted, as well as we're working on another grant application that involves the entire region. That's about it on my report for the Regional 4.0 grant. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Erin. So Barbara, if you're okay, I'd like to move to item number 11, locations, and provide an update.
Yeah.
Okay, so for the South County One Stop, we are still in negotiation. I received an email earlier today from OC Real Estate saying that they're still going back and forth with the landlord on their agreement, that they hope to have it done before January. So unfortunately, where I'd hoped that we'd be moved in by January, it looks like we're not going to be moved in by January because we haven't finalize the agreement with the landlord just yet. I will tell you that we were very close at one point, and then EDD has made some additional requests. And so from those additional requests, we believe that's why the process kind of started all over again. But hopefully once we arrive to an agreement that we can move forward, and hopefully soon we can start moving towards I don't know, getting in front of the Board of Supervisors, executing a contract, and working on moving in. For the Theo Lacey is open. I have Javier working with me to put together a program plan for Theo Lacey so that we can provide services or training directly in the facility. In the past, we were trying to work with a college in Orange County, and there seemed to be a lot of stumbling blocks. So we decided to just work on a program directly with them using our team, with the intention that as the inmates are released, they're connected with our one-stop system. So Javier and I are hoping to get our program plan in front of the staff at the OAC within the next couple of weeks so that we can come to an agreement and start a program in December. The Garden Grove one-stop location, I know that you guys all know that we've updated the center to change the name, so it's no longer called the one-stop, it's called Orange County Workforce Solutions Center. And we'll be working on updating all of our materials to include the Google search and everything else so that it's the right title. The one-stop, but the center is fully open providing services. The one-stop mobile unit, again, fully open providing services throughout the county. I think for the entire month, it's already booked up. And I think you might've heard that we received a grant from DOL to purchase a second mobile unit. So we're really excited about that. That mobile unit is really doing great things in the community. And by the way—
Congratulations for your recognition at the OCBC event.
Thank you.
Well deserved, very well deserved.
Thanks, we couldn't do it without the support of the board. So thank you, board. The other update is Los Alamitos. We effective November 1st, we started providing services directly out of Los Alamitos. We're not only providing adult and dislocated worker services, but we're also providing youth services there. So that's one of the good updates that our team was able to bring, and AIRS is providing direct services out of that facility. So we're really excited about that. The final location, Camp Pendleton, we're still working on an agreement with them. We haven't gotten very far, but we're still optimistic that we'll be able to provide our services there. We're going to keep working away at getting them to let us on the base. All right. Any questions or concerns in regards to the locations? All right. The next item, number 12, if you're okay with it, Barbara. It is the Business and Economic Recovery Call Center. I'm going to ask that Nancy Estrada's upgraded to panelists so that she can provide a report.
All right, I'm doing that now.
All right, hello, everybody. So good afternoon. I have just a quick update on the Business and Economic Recovery Call Center. So to date, over 21,209 clients have been assisted through the call center. Between July 1st and September 30th, we had a total of 1,715 calls. And just to break that down a little bit further, we had 430 business calls, 1,239 job seeker calls, and 46 community calls. These numbers do include any outreach we did to invite any local businesses and job seekers to our previous job fair. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Thank you. So we're still using that call center. We'll continue to use that call center well into the future. We found a lot of our programs and services are supported by it. We still have job seekers as well as businesses calling in. So it's been a great resource to this community. So we're excited to have the call center to provide that support, and we'll continue to do that. Okay, are there any questions or concerns about the call center?
No, it sounds good. Thank you.
Awesome, all right. And so
thank you.
The last item is number 13, if you're okay with it, I'd like to move to 13, which is the grant matrix, which Aaron will be able to provide us an update on the grants.
Okay, and I'm gonna go over the grant report. This is I'll give you a kind of touch base on kind of the most significant changes since the last report. So as mentioned, a few minutes ago, we did receive word that we were awarded the DOL grant to focus on dislocated workers and to outreach to them through a new mobile unit, a virtual one-stop, as well as an expanded program, case management program. So we're working on getting documents back to DOL that they are requesting and to begin implementation of that program. Other programs that can continue are STEPS. That's again a youth work experience program for our students with disabilities. And we have VEEP, you heard from Eric not too long ago. I'm gonna continue down. We have our 4.0 regional grant, which I had given an update earlier. We have the OJT, again, OJT grant that Rhonda presented on. I'm gonna continue. And again, AB 1111 is continuing as well. And we have, again, we actually have two regional funding, two grants under regional. So we do still have our 3.0 regional grants. So that continues and it will be ending in March. And regionally, we have the P2E grant, which is actually administered by Santa Ana Workforce Board. But we do kind of all partner among the three boards on this grant and assist and refer to that program. Okay, and two pending grants is, I made reference to it earlier, that we did submit a grant application to EDA for the Build Back Better Regional Challenge, and that is a planning grant in this first phase for $500,000. So we will find out, I believe in December, if we get awarded that grant. And so that's looking at, you know, transformative change in throughout the region. And then another grant we're continuing to work on is a micro business relief grant from the state of California. And it's just small $2,500 grant payments to very small businesses under, you know, four employees and under. And so that is due November 30th. So we are continuing to work on that and we'll be submitting by the due date. And that is my report for this quarter. Any questions? Thank you.
Adriana, do we have four now?
Well, I believe Mike Ruane left, so let me double check here.
You mean we lost somebody?
Yeah. No, because Mike left at this point, we have only five of the six that are required.
Well, Barbara, I turn it back over to you to make a decision what we do. Since we do not have quorum, we cannot vote on the items.
Okay. Would that then go to the full board, or how? What would happen?
So I would take it to executive committee for voting and then full board.
Okay. Is there, I guess I open it up to the committee. Does the committee want to hear about any of this, or do you want to wait and hear about it in the full board?
Jenna, can you chime in if we're allowed to do that? Adriana, can you stop sharing the screen? And Jenna, do you mind?
Maybe procedurally we can't do that. And we
I'm not really sure if it is a violation of Brown Act. Is Jenna still on
the line? Okay.
Hi, Karma. No, Jenna is not on the line, but I can ask her. All she mentioned was that we wouldn't be able to take any vote anyways because we no longer have
maybe
quorum.
Maybe we should just call it at that.
Right, and I don't think we can talk about it. So I think that because we're going to vote on it, you can't really talk about it.
Got it. That makes perfect sense. I apologize.
That's okay.
I just wanted to make some use of the time here. It's disappointing that we don't have a quorum.
So I think that you can review them, because remember, you got them in advance of this meeting, so you can take a look at them, but you can't make any discussion on it as members of the board. We wouldn't be able to discuss them. So I don't know if you want to go ahead and call the meeting since we really can't talk about them at all. The only thing you're
probably not. I don't want to make sure. I want to make sure we don't, you know, unintentionally cause some trouble. So with that, I guess, are there any closing remarks? Any closing remarks, Karma? Anything we missed?
No, I think we covered everything. I was hoping to go over these.
I think so.
Karma, I did get a response back from Jenna. She says that you are allowed to discuss the items, you just can't vote on them.
Okay, well then I guess we could talk about them. Okay,
So in front of you, there are three policies. One of the policies is honestly an update from a previous policy. So we drafted a self-sufficiency policy back in 2020. And in the mm-hmm. self-sufficiency policy, there was kind of some discrepancies between the living wage versus the federal poverty level. And they don't always match up. So what we found is like maybe the living wage said 18 something an hour, but then the federal poverty level said maybe 16. Well, there was always a conflict. So what we tried to do is provide more guidance to our service providers as to what to use. So if you go to page five, like the next page, Adriana, five?
Mm-hmm. Five.
So you'll see where we kind of give you more, a little more definition. So we're saying that we've determined that one of the following measures. So you can either use the 400% poverty level or the living wage levels as determined by MIT. As we know, that updates every single year. Those numbers change every single year. And so instead of changing the policy every single year, what we did is we tried to leave flexibility to choose between the two, whichever one is greater.
Yeah.
So right now, I think, Aaron, if you help me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the living wage is at $22 an hour, a little over $22 an hour. And recently we've been talking about $18. Well, that's changed because it's no longer 18, it's 22. And we want to use the right number. So when we're talking about helping people get placed in employment opportunities that lead to self-sufficiency, it's $22 for a household of one to be self-sufficient in Orange County.
Karma, you're correct at 22. If you scroll down, you could look at the actual calculation for this year, the numbers for this year, I believe, if it's in here.
I don't think it's in here.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So, yeah, the memo will be updated every year and provide mm-hmm. the new numbers.
Yeah. So that's what that policy is basically to update it. You know, it looks like they did it. Okay. You know what? I'm wrong. Scroll down a little bit more, Adriana.
I think it's on page 6 and 7.
Maybe. Right, it is on page 6 and 7. I apologize for that. So yeah, if you look at the 70%, the 100% versus the 70% versus the, keep going, Adriana.
Next page?
Yeah. Versus the 400%. The 400% is more in alignment with where Orange County actually is. So if it's about $22.44 for the MIT calculator, the 400% poverty level is at $24.77. That's going to really help us identify what does it take in terms of placement and jobs to really help people in Orange County. So I think that this chart kind of gives you an idea of why we needed to do this, so that there is more guidance and more intention behind our placements when it comes to enrolling participants in programs and providing them opportunities. We want to make sure that it's helping them actually survive in Orange County. Are there any questions or concerns about this policy and why we're updating it?
No, so you'll be asking the board to approve giving you the authority to update it.
That's correct.
That's the ask it. Okay.
Yeah, we're asking them to approve the policy as well as give us authority to make non-substantiated changes. Or not substantial changes. Yeah.
And then there's one, it looks like, on reporting fraud and abuse.
Yeah. So the last time that policy was updated was in 2013. So it's really.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we needed to update it to align with WIOA, but we also needed to update it to align with DOL as well as EDD. What this policy does is define what happens if a participant or a service provider or a staff sees waste or fraud or abuse of WIOA funds, what the process actually is. So this policy is a long overdue update. We did recently in an EDD monitoring, they brought it to our attention that it was outdated and that we needed to update it. And so part of my corrective action plan is to provide an updated policy to EDD as soon as the board votes on it and approves it. So this is to help us become compliant because right now we're out of compliance.
Oh, okay. It's more of a procedural.
Correct.
And then number seven is adult and dislocated worker program eligibility policy.
So yeah, so what we saw is there's some challenges with our service providers on eligibility. So what we did is two things. This policy was last drafted in 2017. And because of conversations and compliance findings and other challenges, we determined that it was necessary to provide more guidance to our service providers. So this is an update to a previously drafted policy. This provides more details on who is eligible, who is not eligible, when it is appropriate to enroll them versus when it's not, what categories they fall into. This is basically to provide further guidance to our service providers on who is in fact eligible for our program.
So it provides more clarity.
That's correct. And so we'll be asking the board to approve this revision, our new policy, and we'll be implementing it as soon as the board approves.
Okay, those seem pretty straightforward.
Are there any questions or concerns about any of these? I want to make sure that I can, since I have the opportunity to answer them for you.
No, they seem pretty straightforward.
Awesome. Well, those are the three action items that we were planning on presenting today that we will be presenting to the executive committee and, like I said, full board.
Okay. Does the committee, any of the committee members have anything before we close the meeting?
Adriana, can
with that, I guess we'll wrap it up. And then, Carmen, in the board meeting, are you going to share the calendar for 2022?
Yes, I want to talk about the calendar for 2022, but yes, we can at the board meeting address the 2022 calendar and just make sure that we're all on the same page. Is there a desire by this committee to change our meeting dates or times?
No, just okay. It would be good to plan it well in advance.
Okay, so we will work on providing you the 2022 calendar.
Okay, with that, we'll close the meeting.
I have a suggestion.
I'm sorry, Gary.
No, just one quick suggestion. I think whenever we can capture a quorum, we ought to suspend all the other reports and take on the action items before we lose a quorum. So I think we missed an opportunity here to advance this because we got so involved in reports.
I agree.
Great point. Yeah, good point. So we didn't have a quorum at the beginning, and then did someone join and we got a quorum? Okay, so when that happens, we need to kind of stop and at the next transition, go back to the action item.
We'll do it now. Okay. I will use our admin to make sure that board members know that we have voting items and need quorum when she does a courtesy call.
Yeah, I think that would be very helpful. Okay. And making sure that we have the panel log on because we waste about, 5-10 minutes just trying to get everybody on at the beginning.
Okay, we'll work with Jenna and Desiree to make sure you guys have the login in advance.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm gonna close the meeting at 2:46.
Thank you, have a great day.